Today's reading is Daniel chapter 12, and that can be found on page 750 of the Church Bibles. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be unto God.
Bethan, thank you so much for reading for us. My name is Steve. I'm one of the assistant ministers here. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning and to be looking at this last chapter of Daniel 12. Now, you know, one of the reasons we come to church each week, isn't it, is to consider serious matters, weighty matters. You know, it's a point in our week when we give our minds to things that really matter and things of consequence. So, the World Cup. Did anyone watch the England DR Congo game on Wednesday? Yeah, quite a few did. If you didn't see it, it was painful watching for England fans. The DR Congo last played in the World Cup when they were still called Zaire, which is a long time ago now, and they lost 9-0 to Yugoslavia then. So that tells you how far back that was. And yet, in this game, England won in the end, but it didn't look like it for a lot of the time. Congo scored in the 7th minute, and for 68 long minutes of the match, DR Congo were winning. The BBC has put it this way, I like this, England were 15 minutes from one of the most abject humiliations in their World Cup history. It wasn't until the 75th minute that Harry Kane equalised, and even later than that, I think it was the 86th minute, that England were finally winning. You know, if you'd been watching that game most of the way through, it did not look like England were going to win. It did not look like they were going to win. And yet, if you had watched the whole match, and somehow you'd already knew what the final score was going to be. You already knew it would be 2-1 to England. Somehow you'd seen into the future, or you were watching the match on catch-up the next day. It would have been a completely different experience, wouldn't it? When England spent 68 minutes 1-0 down, you wouldn't have had your heart in your throat in the same way, because you would have known what was coming. You knew, you would have known what the score would be at the end. Well, this is what is going on as we wrap up the book of Daniel in Daniel chapter 12. What we see in this chapter at the end of Daniel is that knowing the end of the story changes the experience. It changes what it's like as you go through. Here is the message of the whole book of Daniel, but also the message of Daniel chapter 12. We know what's coming, and so we can live now with hope, unlike England fans. So let me pray as we get into this chapter of Daniel and as we see what the Lord has to say to us through these words. Let's pray together. God our Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for your words to us. And as we read and consider these words, we pray that we might hear you speak to us by the power of your Spirit. Give us your strength to persevere in the Christian life until we reach the end. Amen. Amen. So, very simple. This is Daniel chapter 12, but let me set it in its context. If you were here last week, you will know that Daniel chapter 10 opened with this strange vision where Daniel fell to the ground, and then there was a long Daniel chapter 11 explaining a huge portion of history. And Daniel chapter 12 is the close of that vision. It started at the beginning of chapter 10. It's a kind of long train. But here in Daniel chapter 12, it's brought all to the end, and the whole book is wrapped up. And the message is this, that we should keep going. Daniel, keep going. Christians, keep going until you reach the end. And I want to show you three things here. First of all, keep going for resurrection hope. Keep going when you don't know what's going to happen. And keep going all the way to the end. Very simple today. So first of all, we're going to look at the beginning here. Keep going for resurrection hope. And I want us to see in these first few verses that at the end, at the very end, God will rescue all of his people to shine in eternal life. But we're going to need to keep going because God's people are going to go through deep trouble. So have a look at verse 1 with me, chapter 12, verse 1. There shall be a time of trouble, it says, such as never has been since there was a nation until that time. You know, Daniel talks about how the people of God will walk through times of deep trouble. And you know, people disagree about Daniel. Is the book of Daniel talking about time of trouble that was long ago? Certainly there was trouble at the time of Daniel, and there was trouble that came after him. You know, is it talking about times of trouble in the future, a time of trouble coming, a climactic, deep time of trouble that will come upon God's people before the end? Certainly there are bits of the Bible that will make us think that way. Either way, God's people walk through troubles, and they walk through troubles now. God's people walk through times of trial that seem like they'll be hard to get through and they won't make it there. You might think of the regime in Iran and Christians in Iran struggling to hold on at a time of trouble for Christians that seems like they'll not possibly endure it. You might think of the persecuted church throughout the world holding on, struggling through in times of trouble. But through deep trouble, God will rescue his people. Here's what he says. At that time, your people shall be delivered, rescued, saved. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And there's something kind of hidden, something kind of going on in the background here, because there's this guy, Michael, your great prince, who's some kind of angelic figure who is working behind the scenes for the good of God's people so that they will endure and persevere. You know, we've heard about him a little bit earlier in Daniel, but to be honest, it doesn't tell us very much. We don't know much about Michael or what he's doing or how that works. But we do have a little window opening that behind the things that we can see, behind the things that are obvious to us, there is a deeper spiritual reality where God is working to save and to deliver his people. You know, if you did watch the England game on Wednesday, on the one hand, you were watching and there was the match playing out, and most of the time England were losing, and that's what was going on. But on the other hand, what was going on? Well, you were watching because electric current was being passed over liquid crystals in your television display so that those images could appear in your eye, they could be cast onto the back of your retina, and the signals would go through to your brain. Those two stories both explain the same event, and yet they see it from quite a different angle. There's a reality of the things we can see, and there's a spiritual reality of what's going on behind. And much like liquid crystal displays, I don't really understand it. But God is working in that spiritual realm, that secret realm, to bring his people through to salvation. So God's people come through deep trouble, and they come through to resurrection hope. This is the thing that God's people are supposed to keep going for. Look at this, verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is the hope that God holds out for his people. You know, it's not necessarily that the time of trouble is going to get better straight away. It's not necessarily that things will improve in this life even. No, it's a hope that goes beyond that. This is a hope that is worth holding on to. It's a hope that our brothers and sisters in Iran who've lost their lives need to hear. That the hope is not only for this life. No, it's a hope beyond that. It's a resurrection hope. It's a hope that goes beyond the grave. It's a hope that goes to that place of no more mourning, no more death, no more crying or pain. That is the hope that God holds out. Jesus himself put it this way. This is from John 16. He said, "In the world you will have trouble. In the world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world." And so the hope that the Christian looks to isn't something in the here and now. It is something beyond. It is in resurrection life. Now, and look what those people are doing. Look in verse 3. It says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above and turn many to righteousness." Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't always feel very wise. I often feel quite foolish. Who are these wise people, we wonder? Who are these wise ones going on here? Well, no, it's not some kind of elite special Christian that Daniel is talking about, the special wise Christians over there. No, the wise are those who have wisely put their trust in the Lord. Those who have wisely set their hope on resurrection and nowhere else. It's the normal Christian. They are the wise, the ones who've seen where true wisdom, where true life is to be found. And what are those normal Christians? What are those wise people doing? Well, they're turning many to righteousness. That's a description of what we're to do in the Christian life. Turn many to righteousness. We're to be those who say, "I know what the real hope is. I know the only hope is resurrection life. And so I'm going to do all I can to turn as many as I can to the goodness of that hope. Turn to the Lord and trust in him, because that is where real hope is found." Christians are to be those who turn others to righteousness, who turn each other to righteousness. Find your hope in Jesus. Find your hope in the Lord. That's where you'll find real hope, real resurrection hope. You know, I think if you're not yet a Christian today, if you've come and you're kind of wondering about all of these things, on some level, we've got to the heart of what Christian hope is about here. But also, I think you've got to something that is really challenging for modern people. You see, I think in our culture, we're deeply attached to the idea of progress and to the hope of human progress. You know, the belief that actually things are going to get better, that the challenges that we face as a society and individually, there are solutions to those things. We'll come up with democratic solutions to the problems of our society, or sociological, international solutions to the problems of war in the world, or technological solutions to the problems that we face in our everyday lives. And so it's so easy for us to put our hope in the next politician who will come and fix our problems. To put our hope in a regime change that means we'll be escaped from corrupt government and from oppression. To, to put our hopes in AI, artificial intelligence, that's going to revolutionize our society and do wonderful things. So these things are not Christian hope. God does not promise that these things will make our lives better. In fact, in Daniel, I think we could even say, God says, no, it's going to get a whole lot worse. There will be trial and trouble for God's people. But real hope is not the little by little gradual improvement of human progress. No, real hope is in God's transforming power in resurrection life, new creation, everything made new again. That is where the Christian is to find hope, resurrection hope, the hope of God's work. Keep going for resurrection hope. And here's the second thing, is keep going when you don't know. Keep going when you don't know how long. Keep going when you don't know what. And keep going when you don't know how. Look at this. This is what the angel says to Daniel at the end of verse 4. He says, you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. What he's saying is this. Listen, I've said all I'm going to say, and that's it. You're done now. There's nothing more to add here. I've already told you what you need to know. You don't need to know any more than that. You know, we want to know how long, we want to know what's going on, but that's not for us to understand because God has told us what we need. For those who don't watch the football, some of you might know the TV show, the Bake Off, or the Great British Bake Off. Has anyone watched that show? On the Bake Off, they do a technical challenge, and these amateur bakers, they are given a challenge to make something that they've not seen before. And they're given a recipe and they're told, off you go and make this thing. But the catch is they're normally not told everything. They might not be told what it looks like. They might not be told how long to bake it for or how much of each ingredient to use. And so the challenge is, can they use their baking expertise to fill in the gaps? Have they been told enough? Have they been told enough? If you preferred the football, the trouble we had was we weren't told enough. We didn't know, did we? We didn't know if England were really going to be humiliated. Not until minute 86. That's when we found out. But Daniel tells us that God has told us all that we need. We've got everything we need to live the life that God has called us to. And so the book is sealed up. And yet, although God has told us everything we need, he has not told us everything. Here's the challenge of faith. So look down here. We come out from this little speech, or big speech, of the angel, and we're kind of back in the vision that appeared in chapter 10. So Daniel looks, and he's by a river. It's the river Tigris. And there are two angels, one standing on each side of the river. And then above the river, above the waters, there's this man. And he's described here as the man clothed in linen. But back in chapter 10, he's described as burning and shining in a way that brings us to the vision of Jesus we see in the book of Revelation. This figure above the waters is some kind of Son of God, Christ before Christmas figure, a vision of God himself, a vision of the Son of God. There he is standing. And however we're to understand these things, the key question is there in verse 6. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? How long is it going to be? Tell us more. We want to know how long. And the answer comes from this Christ figure, this Son of God, the man clothed in linen, standing above the stream, and he raises both of his hands in a kind of double oath gesture. And he swears by him who lives forever, by God himself, that it will be for time and times and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things will be finished. And Daniel says, I love this. Daniel says, I heard, but I did not understand. We can all sit a little bit with Daniel this morning, can't we? I heard, but I did not understand. You see, it's a solemn oath that God swears. It is absolutely certain that the time of trial will come to an end and that God will bring his resurrection life and hope. And yet we don't know everything, do we? We don't know the timing.
We don't know how it's going to work out. Daniel says, "Oh my Lord, what will the outcome be of these things? What's going to happen?" And God tells him, "Go on your way, Daniel. It's shut up and sealed until the end. You know enough. You know enough, even though it's not everything." Farhad helped us to pray for this earlier. There were two young children in our church at the moment in the last couple of weeks who've had very serious operations, heart surgery and brain surgery. Serious and life-threatening situations and operations. Heartbreaking for their parents. And the parents of those children, they do not know how it is going to work out. They didn't know how the surgeries would go, and they don't know how it will work out into the future. They don't know what the long-term consequences of these things will be. They don't know. And to live by faith is to keep on walking, knowing that even though I don't know, God has told me enough, because he has promised us resurrection hope. He has promised us a world of no more crying or death, no more mourning or pain, where all things are put right, and where his people will shine like stars. We don't know everything, but to walk by faith is to trust that God is God, that he knows, and that it is enough for us to be held in his hands. You know, so often in life, don't we? We find the immediate things overtake the important things. You know, we find that the concerns of the day, the things that come at us, they just overtake, knowing that there is an eternal reality. There is a deeper reality and a resurrection hope for us. You know, someone put this to me this way this week. I love this. As she said, "You know, why am I worrying what my nails look like when Jesus literally died for me and I'm going to live forever in heaven?" You know, parents, we worry about the future for our children. We worry what the world will be like. We worry if everything will line up for them. Or we worry if we're going to make it to the end of today with our sanity still half intact, you know. These things crowd us as people. You know, we wonder, well, we're asked sometimes, what's your 5-year plan? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? What am I going to make of my life? Will I be single forever? And yet God has told us, in the face of all of these things, what we need to know, that we have an eternal hope and an eternal destiny in resurrection life with him. And with all the things that we don't know, we keep walking forwards with the thing that we do know, that God has promised resurrection to his people. Keep going for resurrection hope. Keep going even when you don't know. And lastly, keep going until the end. Keep going until the end. Look back with me down at verse 9 and verse 10. He said to Daniel, "Go your way, Daniel. The words are shut up and sealed till the time of the end. I've said what I'm going to say. You carry on." And he says, "Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly." You know, this is to say, things are going to keep on pretty much as normal. Those who love God are going to strive to live holy lives and to be made pure before him. And those who are wicked are going to keep on doing wicked things. Stuff is going to keep on happening, the same as it always has. But you should keep on going till the end. You should keep on going to the end. And so he says this, you know, verse 11, "From the time that the burnt offering's taken away, there'll be 1,290 days. I think the point here is it's limited. There's a time limit on it, and it's going to come to an end. And blessed is the one who makes it past the end of the time of trial." What should Daniel do? Daniel, you go on your way until the end. God's people will keep on striving to be holy. The wicked will keep on being wicked. And you keep on going. One of our great modern philosophers has put it this way. "Player's going to play, hater's going to hate. Baby, I just got to shake. Shake, 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 shake." You didn't know that Taylor Swift had read Daniel 12, did you? What should we do? What then should we do in the light of these things? If Daniel has told us the sweep of history, the way that all of history is going, and the way that we are heading to resurrection life, that our hope is in that, well, what do we do? Well, guys, I'm sorry to be anticlimactic, but what we do is we show up at work tomorrow. You know, the God's instruction to Daniel is go your way till the end. Keep on going. Go back to serving the king of Persia and doing your job. We show up at work tomorrow and we do the work that the Lord has called us to in the place that the Lord has put us, knowing the end to which we're heading. You know, we know how it's going to end. We know what the final score will be. And what are we to do now? Well, we're to get on with living the life that God has called us to. Keep on going until the end. Listen, this is hard, isn't it? This is hard stuff. You know, we're called to keep on going for resurrection hope through trial, but how are we going to make it through the trials of life? We're called to keep on going even though we don't know. And it feels sometimes like we're walking forwards in the dark and we don't know where things are heading. We're called to keep on going to the end of time, and sometimes it feels like keeping on going to the end of today would be quite an achievement, doesn't it? So let me take you back to that shining figure standing over the river. You see, our God, the God who calls us to keep going, does not stand aloof from us up in heaven, cheering us on, or telling us to buck our ideas up. No, that same God, that same God who is the shining figure above the river, stepped down amongst us and walked with us as a man. He walked through a time of trouble, a time of trouble perhaps like there has never been, you might say, certainly a time of trouble worse than any of us are likely to walk through. He walked through it even to death. And he walked through it to death so that his death might be our death. And 3 days later, he rose again to resurrection life, showing us the way that we are to walk. You know, we don't walk on our own, keeping going to the end. We walk in the footsteps of Christ, through suffering, through death, and into resurrection life, knowing that he has led us the way. You know, we don't always know everything we want to know, but we do know Christ. We do know that God stepped down and he died on a cross because he loves me. That's what I know. And so when I don't know, I know that. I know the kind of God that I have, and I know that he will hold me until the end. You know, when I don't feel wise, when I'm struck by my own foolishness, he is my wisdom. He is the one I look to. When I'm ready to give up and throw in the towel, I know that he never will. He will hold on to us. He will hold on to us until the end. When we walk through trials, we're only walking the way that he walked ahead of us. And so tomorrow, you know what the final score will be. You know how the story is going to end, and so keep on walking. When an aeroplane takes off, if it wants to get to the right destination, you have to set the compass right. You have to know where you're heading and you have to head in the right way. Well, friends, you know the direction we are heading in. And so as you face the challenges of tomorrow and the challenges of this week, face them as someone who knows this is not the end. I know where I'm heading and I know I will stand in resurrection life with my Lord Jesus who died for me. That is where we're going. Amen. Thanks, Tim. Joey, in just a moment, we're going to sing. When we've sung, we're going to take communion together. And we use these words in communion. We say, the body of Christ keep you into everlasting life. Friends, it will. It will. Let me pray. God our Father, we praise you for the death and life of Jesus. We thank you that he is your wisdom for foolish people. We thank you that he is resurrection life for us who are struck by death all the time. We thank you that he will hold on to us until the end. And may the body of Christ keep us into everlasting life. Amen.